Chapter 40. Another Dark Day. The next day was spent making a comfortable spot for Verity in the living room. Dr. Filbert came over to explain how to help ease Verity's suffering. She had given Kara some painkillers the day before, and now she wrote out a prescription for more. With the medication, Verity felt a considerable measure of relief. Since both her legs were becoming unreliable, Verity gathered what she needed around her so she didn't have to walk far. Dr. Filbert had recommended a nurse, and with her assistance and expertise, Verity felt confident that she would be well taken care of. During that day, there were still occasional bouts of tears and self-pity, but on the whole, the long night of wrestling with God's will had prepared her to accept the finality. Her family was having more trouble coming to terms with their shock and sorrow than she was. It was hard for them to see it from the eye of faith. A different perspective was dawning on her little by little. Slowly she was coming to realize how privileged she was to have found a hope for life beyond death before this tragedy came upon her. If she hadn't spent the last 10 months searching earnestly for truth in the Bible, she wouldn't be accepting death so graciously now. In fact, when she visualized how she would have felt had this cancer occurred a year ago, she couldn't imagine anything other than absolute terror and self-pity. That brought her to a measure of thankfulness, realizing God had brought her to a full understanding before all this had overtaken her. Aunt Judy was especially outspoken about the tragedy. "I just can't believe this would happen to you, dear," she said tearfully again and again. "If I were in your shoes, I would give up God entirely. What good is a God that can't protect you from such terrible things? Goodness me, if anything like this happens to me before I get my chance to retire, I will just go to pieces." Verity understood that Aunt Judy was trying to sympathize with her, but the words did anything but help. In fact, it reminded Verity of how easy it was to be a Satan to someone else. "How can you be so calm about this?" she had asked later, in amazement at Verity's peaceful composure, "when you're being taken away in the prime of your life." Verity tried explaining, but she could see that Aunt Judy wasn't taking it in. It struck Verity that Aunt Judy was like the builder in one of Jesus' parables, who built his house upon the sand. When the rains came, the sand was washed away and down fell his house. Aunt Judy had focused all her hopes and dreams solely on this life. A crisis like the one Verity was undergoing would wash away everything she had. She would go to pieces, as she had said. There would be no way to see a brighter side. While Verity had held some hopes and dreams for her teenage years, she had one vivid, solid, wonderful hope of the kingdom to come. With this vision in mind, she could be dashed by the storms and still have a house that stood strong on a rock. She tried to explain this to Thomas that evening, but like Aunt Judy, he was having trouble getting past the same feeling that God had let her down. "Just think, though," she carried on anyway, "I could have been killed instantly in a car crash. It happens so often in the news. This way, I get to say goodbye to all the people I love." Thomas turned away as tears welled up in his eyes. Minutes went by before he looked at her again, and then he asked hesitantly, "Are you going to tell Peter, or would you rather I did?" Verity sighed deeply. "It would be better if you phoned him, Thomas," she said slowly. "Tell him that I hope he will think it over and pray before he says anything to me." Saturday morning, Thomas decided to drive into town and tell Peter personally. 20 minutes later, Verity's mum called out to her that Peter was driving into their driveway. Feeling very uneasy, Verity wondered how Peter was going to handle the news. There was no way he could have taken time to think this through. Just how was he going to react? When Kara opened the door, Peter stood there ashen, his brown eyes desperately hoping the news wasn't true. But the look on their faces confirmed Thomas's words. "I can't believe this," he exclaimed stormily as he strode over to where Verity sat leaning against the pillows. "Why didn't you tell me sooner?" He tried to say more, but emotion overcame him, and he burst into tears. Verity started out calmly. "I'm sorry I didn't tell you earlier, Peter, but we only found out on Thursday. By then, I knew you were on the road, driving home." She tried to explain how she'd come to terms with it, how she could view it from a different perspective. But Peter was sobbing so hard, she didn't think he heard. So instead, she just passed him tissues and gently stroked his arm. At last he gained control, but his anger burned on. "How could God do this to you? I've never seen anyone give up his or her life so completely to him, and now he strikes you with this. Why? Why? Verity didn't say anything. The night she had wrestled in her mind with God's will was clearly before her. And yet how could she ever bring Peter to feel the peace she had won that night? He had to come to it himself. Vainly she attempted to tell him again that there was another perspective, but Peter was in no mood for rational thinking. Verity, he pleaded, how many times did I beg you to go to the doctor? If you'd only gone 3 months ago, maybe they could have done something. Peter's words hurt, but what could she say? He was right. I do wish I'd listened, she said meekly, but I can't change that now. I have to accept what's in front of me. Angry at her peaceful resignation, Peter turned at last on her. How can you just lie there and blissfully accept death? Don't you care that you're leaving us all behind? It was too much for Verity. She'd fought her own battles with this, but dealing with Peter's grief was causing her to slip from her resolve. The look on his face crushed her to the core. Where was the kind, patient, forgiving Peter? She'd never seen him this upset before, and she felt confused and a little betrayed. Waves of self-pity began to sweep over her. She did care that she was leaving everyone behind. She did care that she might never see Peter again. She did care that in the prime of her life she would miss out on all the happiness ahead of her. Tears were sliding down her cheeks. Peter, she said in despair, I need you to go. Go home and pray and read. Don't come back until you've had time to think about this. Peter stood up, astonished. Did Verity even care? In his turbulent state of mind, he was unable to think clearly. He wasn't sure who he was angrier with, God or Verity. How could God possibly let this happen? How could Verity placidly accept she was going to die, as though it was no great loss to leave behind the people she loved? This request for him to leave wounded him even more deeply. Why wouldn't she want him to be with her at such a time? He responded incredulously. You're asking me to pray and read the Bible when God has allowed this to happen to you? She nodded with a sob. Their conversation had gone so badly. She wished she knew how to undo it, but she didn't. Please, Peter, she begged. Please go. But come back as soon as you can.